Please forgive me for preempting the better way for just a moment. My name is Todd Friel. I am the executive director of Fortis Institute. We have the joy of working with Libby Glossin on a daily basis and producing this podcast, which is already, it's a brand new podcast. It's already ranked in the top 2% of all podcasts worldwide. That's amazing. And I think what attracts so many people is the intelligent talk for women, the biblical application of scripture so that women can be the God glorifiers that God intended them to be. If you're benefiting from the better way, would you please consider supporting Fortis Institute as the year draws to a close? We have a matching gift campaign. Your impact will be doubled. And at this time of year, your support is so needed. Would you please consider partnering with us at fortisinstitute.org/donate?
That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glossin.
Have you ever looked at your day and thought, why am I reacting this way? Why do I keep struggling with the same old patterns? I thought the deal was I become a Christian and I'm instantly growing some delicious sweet fruit. This is some rotten fruit I've got going on over here. What is the deal? Well, the truth is every believer, really every person, is bearing or growing something. Unbelievers can't be fruit growers, and Christians, well, our basket is mixed. The question isn't whether fruit is growing, it's what kind is growing on you. Paul writes in Galatians 5, 19 through 23 about two very different harvests, the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. One comes from our old nature, the self-reliant, self-seeking part of us that still wants control. The other comes from new life, Christ in us, our union with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The difference isn't just behavior. It's what truly motivates our actions and what those actions produce. And without sounding too overly dramatic, I'll say this. There's a way that looks right but leads to death, Proverbs 14, 12, and a way that flows from new life in Christ. Let's read Galatians 5, 19 through 25. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Check that contrast Paul gives us. Deeds of the flesh are human effort driven by self, rooted in sin. Fruit of the Spirit is God's work in us, flowing from the indwelling Spirit, rooted in grace. Okay, y'all, let's be our dads and unfold the big paper roadmap on the hood of your car. Maybe your grandpa's, and depending on how old you are. But today we want to look at two paths laid out by Paul, one that leads to death and one that blossoms with life. And we're going to ask, what drives each path? What results come from them? And ultimately, who's really doing the work of producing the fruit in us? Let me give you a personal example of what it looks like to be a flesh deeder disguised as a fruit producer. I grew up with two loving parents and an adorable little brother in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia. And we were taught to do what was right because it was the right thing to do. And as a result, I became really good at living by a strict moral code. I was in the front row of every class in elementary and middle and high school with my hand perpetually raised with the right answer. And I was definitely that kid that messed up the curve I never attended a party. I didn't drink or do drugs. And I was nice to everyone. And I went to church a few times a year, always on Christmas and Easter, of course. But on the inside, I was not so nice. I was totally selfish and self-serving, and I'd never even cracked a Bible at the age of 15. And then there was a boy. He took me on a date, and I started going to church with him. And I knew, because he told me that he was only going to continue dating me if I became a Christian and got baptized. So that's exactly what I did, but for all the wrong reasons. And just like in school, I was really good at playing the part of a good Christian girl. I sang in the choir. I taught Sunday school. I helped with VBS. I cooked the Wednesday night meal. I attended all the prayer meetings, but there was no change in my heart. My desires were still all about me. My motivations were still totally self-focused, and my perspective was me, me, me. I might have been carrying my Bible, but I hadn't read it, and I certainly had not come to saving faith. I was still producing deeds of the flesh, even though to most people around me, I looked like a healthy fruit tree. And then the fall of 1999, totally giving away my age here, God regenerated my heart and my mind, and I was a new creation, but some rotten fruit still hung around, and it still hangs around. So deeds of the flesh, or works of the flesh in some translations, and fruit of the Spirit. James Montgomery Boyce introduces this juxtaposition like this. He talks about these particulars of conduct and Paul providing a kind of checklist for us so that we can measure our conduct. And if our conduct is characterized by the traits on the first list, then we're either not a believer or else we're a believer who's not being led by the Spirit. You got your bad fruit on the one hand, the deeds of the flesh. The deeds of the flesh are natural to us apart from Christ. We don't have to learn them. They come from a heart set on self. And we get a description of what a life lived for self, the deeds of the flesh, looks like in verses 19 through 21. Moral corruption, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. Spiritual corruption, idolatry, sorcery. Things taking the place of God. And then relational corruption. That's the deeds of the flesh in action, in relationship with other people. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, and the disordered desires, drunkenness, and things like these. These things still show up subtly in believers through pride and comparison and busyness and control. And the source of these deeds, these works of the flesh, well, self-sufficiency and our sin nature that we're born with. That's the Greek word sarx here. It's the fallen, sinful human nature that's opposed to the Spirit. Total depravity is our natural condition apart from the work of God in regeneration. Fleshly deeds are not just bad behaviors. They're manifestation of self-driven, self-worshiping in our hearts. And this list that Paul gives us, he ends with, and things like these, just in case there's something he didn't mention specifically. And he says, he uses the term evident, that these things are obvious. Another commentator I was reading this week, he addressed this question of how do you know if you're walking in the Spirit or producing deeds of the flesh? And he said that we often talk about this as some sort of a mystical experience that's only available to a select few people who know the secret of victorious Christian life. Well, what Paul does here in Galatians 5 is he does away with that mystery. He says it's going to be evident. It's going to be clear if the flesh is continuously hostile to the Spirit, then we get deeds of the flesh. That's what's evident in our lives. And we're not walking by the Spirit. We're not allowing ourselves to be led by the Spirit, and we're not keeping in step with the Spirit. Paul's point in this is that the works of the flesh are plainly visible. Fleshly behavior is apparent to everyone around us, and it should be obvious to us too. The tree is known by its fruit. We aren't just talking external acts here, not just behaviors, but symptoms of internal desires. What's going on in the inner man? By the way, if you aren't listening to or watching Dr. Greg Gifford's Life Without the Numb, which is available for free on the Fortis app or at fortisplus.org, you got to go listen. This is such a great resource for understanding the inner man, outer man, mind-brain distinction. The motivation behind the deeds of the flesh is rooted in self-rule. The flesh seeks self-exaltation, not the glory of God. It's, I want what I want when I want it. And it comes from the heart that's still under the impact of sin. And when you live by the flesh, you get what you pay for. Ultimately, we're talking rot. The harvest of fleshly deeds is always rot. Division, destruction, fractured relationships, guilt, loss of peace, eventual death and spiritual death if you're without Christ. There's a clear warning in verse 21. Such people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this doesn't mean that believers lose their salvation, but it does mean that an ongoing unrepentant pattern does reveal an unchanged heart. So what's the point here? If the root is flesh, what's growing can only be corruption and sin and deeds that are in opposition to God. The deeds of the flesh come from me in charge. But there's another better option Paul gives. The fruit of the Spirit comes from Christ in me. The source of the fruit of the Spirit is our union with Christ. And who does that? Who puts us in union with Christ? Well, that's God. God does that on our behalf. He transfers us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, and he puts us in Christ. In Christ. Ephesians 1, the believer, the one who's come to saving faith, is in Christ. And there's an order of operations here, y'all. You guys remember algebra, right? You may be like me and just trying to forget algebra, but I bet if you remember the order of operations, you'll remember that you got to do the stuff in the parentheses before the other stuff. You got to multiply before you add. Well, that's the order here. Justification precedes sanctification. So we're declared righteous before God and we're sanctified and we continue to be sanctified. So we might still have some rotten fruit on our branches, but now there's hope because we have the ability to bear the fruit of the Spirit. So how do we bear that fruit? How do we get our baskets full of fruit of the Spirit instead of deeds of the flesh? Come back after the break and we'll find out together.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment. You know, it seems like I say the same thing just about every week about Libby, and that's that she said probably the most profound thing that I've ever heard and thought about. And then that changes the very next week because she says something else. But what she just said about the perfect churchgoer, front row with their hand raised at every function, Wednesday night dinner, everything, and their heart is still all about them. I'm telling you what, that is most of us. You can't fake fruit. It either grows from the right source or it's not growing at all. And that is exactly the core principle behind everything we do here at Fortis Institute. We're not interested in helping you fake better fruit. Fortis Plus, our app, our free app, it is full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content right now, and we're adding to it every single day. But we're not producing content for you to consume so you can perform Christianity better. No, Fortis Plus and all of the content we create is designed to connect you to the Spirit that produces actual fruit. You can find out exactly what I'm talking about by downloading Fortis Plus right now. You can download it from your app store on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply just go to fortisplus.org. And the reason that all of our content is absolutely free is because of people just like you, gospel partners, men and women who believe in what we're doing at Fortis Institute so much that they have decided to link arms with us and give us the ability to do exactly what Libby is doing today. And that's stripping away the religious veneer and exposing the flesh that's disguised as fruit. You can find out more about exactly what it would look like in your life to be a gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Libby Glossin. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now, let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
You know, Sometimes the Christian life feels like a tug of war, doesn't it? Like a back and forth between who we used to be and who Christ is making us to be. And Paul, in Galatians 5, he doesn't sugarcoat it. There's a tension here. There's a difference between the deeds or works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And they couldn't be more opposite. One side is total chaos, envy, strife, jealousy, impurity, all the ick of the old us, the old sin patterns that used to dominate our hearts. The other side, it's like technicolor life, as my pastor says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, all the good stuff. The life lived by the Spirit of God, walking in His way instead of our own. For the unbeliever, it's all deeds of the flesh all the time. For the believer, it's a mixed bag as we battle sin and die to self. So today we're asking ourselves, what's growing in me? Am I still feeding the weeds of the flesh, or am I intentionally pursuing holiness and cooperating with the Spirit to bear His fruit? Just like with the deeds of the flesh, Paul gives such a great description of what a life lived for Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, looks like in verses 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Notice it's called fruit, singular, not fruits, even though the list has more than one thing on it. And that's because it's a unified whole. It's the character of Christ being formed in the believer. Love that flows from having been loved while we were unlovable, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's just mind-blowing, isn't it? And joy that's rooted not in our circumstances, but in the person of Christ, in His promises, and in the eternity that awaits us. This world is not our home. That gives us the peace that only God can give and the assurance that we have in God's sovereign grace. He really is working all things together for the good of those who love Him and for His glory. Patience that comes as we trust in God's timing and His plan, and the kindness and goodness that flows out of us because of God's generosity of kindness and goodness towards us, and faithfulness that comes from a loyalty born from Christ's unwavering faithfulness. What a deep well we have to draw from there. Gentleness, self-control. By the way, that's the only self-hyphenated word allowed around here. We're not letting our desires rule us, but we're ruling over our desires, not by willpower, but because we love our God. And the result of a life producing the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Oh, the joy of Spirit fruit, peace, unity, flourishing relationships. This is the kind of fruit that testifies to the Spirit's indwelling presence, Romans 8, 14 through 16. And it's evidence of change, of true saving faith. The fruit of the Spirit is not about trying harder. It's about staying close to Jesus, abiding in Him. Fruit happens because of who we're united to, not because we're better rule keepers. And what a witness to the world around us. We will be known by our fruit. Fruit doesn't just change behavior. It changes us and it draws others to Christ. It's evidence of adoption. The Spirit produces a family likeness to the Father. We look like our dad. Okay, so who is doing the fruit production? That's the big question. Is it up to us to concentrate really hard and exert all our efforts and energy to squeeze out some fruit? No, God Himself is the producer of the fruit through the Holy Spirit, hence fruit of the Spirit. You don't produce this fruit. You just get to bear it. The Spirit produces it. John 15, abide in me and you will bear much fruit. The branch doesn't strain or sweat. The life flows from the vine and produces the fruit. Sanctification, yes, it's monergistic at its root, but it's synergistic in growth, which just means that God initiates and empowers and believers respond in obedience, but only by the grace that God gives us. Philippians 2, 12 through 13 shows this, work out your salvation, for it is God who works in you. both at the same time. To clarify, the Spirit isn't asking you to manufacture fruit. He's asking you to walk with Him and trust Him. The Spirit produces the fruit. We are not fruit producers. We are fruit bearers. And John 15, 5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So our job is to abide, not strive. The Spirit never asks us to produce what He alone can grow. Back to that whole declared righteous before God and the I will give them a new heart thing, our order of operations, if you will, regeneration precedes fruit because dead trees can't grow anything real. Fruit is the evidence of the new birth, not the cause. It's not a moral checklist, but a slow, certain work of God cultivating His image in us. And the benefit to us as believers, knowing that God is the one doing the fruit growing, we are safe and sound in our salvation. No one can take it. No one can undo it because it's God's to give and God's to sustain and God's to grow. True fruit reassures believers of genuine faith. Temporary imitation, like my personal example I gave you, can mimic love or peace, but only Spirit-born fruit perseveres. So check yourself. Is this fruit mine or is it His through me? The deeds of the flesh put self on the throne, but the fruit of the Spirit exalts Christ as Lord. Remember our big paper roadmap? Thanks, Dad. One path is powered by human will, the other by God transforming power. The flesh says, do what feels good. The Spirit says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the flesh. That's just a few verses earlier in Galatians 5:16. So examine your motivations. Are they about control or surrender? What do your actions reveal about who is ruling your heart? It's not just what you're doing, it's why you're doing it and for whom you're doing it. If you're a person who's operating in the deeds of the flesh department, I'm going to guess you're exhausted and empty at the end of the day. Well, let me tell you, as a person who's been there and done that, the fruit path is so, so, so much the better way. We are talking rest and renewal and reconciliation and peace here, ladies. Why would you not want that? So how does God go about this work in us? Well, the Spirit just uses ordinary means, the Word of God, prayer, fellowship with other believers. That's what He uses to conform us to Christ. The starting point for Spirit fruit is increasing dependence on Christ. Each day begins not with resolutions to be better today, but with confession, with recognizing your utter dependence on the Spirit's power to produce in you what you can't. Fruit grows in those rooted in the Word. So hide Scripture in your heart, Psalm 119:11, and let it renew your affections. Daily prayer. It's not meant to be a habit. It's meant to be communion. It's asking the Spirit to perform Christ's work in you, to form Christ's character in you. And if you meditate on passages like what we've read today, Galatians 5, 22 through 23, John 15, Psalm 1, this keeps you nourished and aligned with God's purposes. If you don't know what to pray, just pray Scripture back to God. And then when we talk about walking by the Spirit, that just means that we're staying responsive to His conviction and His comfort throughout the day. Notice when irritation, pride, or envy surfaces in you. That's the weeds revealing the flesh. Confess quickly. Refocus on Christ. Ask for God's help to change. Spiritual growth means moment by moment fellowship, not achieving sinless perfection. Think of it like active obedience. The fruit becomes visible when the Word and your worship, your heart worship, leads to action. Love manifests in service, in being patient with other people, in having joy and gratitude. Each little act of obedience is both a product of the Spirit and fertilizer for more fruit. So engage in those spiritual disciplines faithfully. Not to earn favor, but to train your spiritual reflexes towards Christ-likeness. Becoming a fruit bearer isn't about trying harder, but abiding deeper. A little encouragement for you today. If you're seeing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, praise God. If you're struggling with deeds of the flesh, repent and return to Jesus. Don't forget, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8. Listen, fruit bearing, it's not about hustle. It's about holiness. It's not about pushing harder. It's about abiding in Christ. He is going to finish the work that he's begun in you. Remember, you're not the vine. You're the branch. Stay connected to the vine, and then the fruit will come in his time by his Spirit for his glory. And now that you know the better way to think about the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.